All right, so as the song stated this morning, I have entitled my message, Be Still. I guess you can maybe let the words be still sink in a little bit. It's very simple. You tell it to a child, and they understand it, at least if they're old enough. But be still. Something I've been thinking about a lot lately. I'd like to share on the topic here. So to get started, you can turn to the passage in Psalms. I'm sure we're all familiar with it. Psalms 46. And I will read the whole chapter here. Psalms 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams, whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is a refuge. Selah. Be still. So, in this passage, God wants us to know that he is God. And I think that's all very obvious to each one of us. But sometimes, just the difficult times in life that we face, sometimes it's a challenge for us to, at least it is for me, to be still and know that God is God. And there's no one that compares to him. And there's not no one like him. So in the passage, it talks about some pretty dramatic things that happen. It talks about the mountains being carried in the midst of the sea, waters, the waters roar and be troubled. Just very dramatic things that happen. Things that would normally, I think, would terrify all of us. But verse 1 talks about God's a refuge and a very present help. And talks about how we don't need to fear because of that. And then toward the end of the chapter, middle of the chapter, talks about God's power. Talks about his power, I guess that's more toward the end of the chapter, his power in war. And talks about it is God's power and God being with us, a refuge. And then at the very end of the chapter, again, I'll just mention it. He basically ends with, be still and know that I am God. And so, yeah, as you see here, I guess, just think about the words be still So, as, yeah, like, why are we actually, why can we be still? And there are so many things that distract us and want to take, I guess, fill our minds. But another passage, another very familiar passage that Jesus talked about in Matthew are the verses, I think it's at the end of chapter 11. And that is, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And talks about taking his yoke upon us, for it is easy. And again, I kind of look at that as God inviting us to come to him and kind of, like, be still. And I can just kind of imagine God just saying, be still, know that I'm God. Everything will be all right. Or come unto me. And whatever you have, it's not too great. And, yeah, I don't know exactly how God was saying that, but that's kind of how I like to look at it. So, yeah, as we think about being still, for me, if I'm going to put my trust in someone completely, 100%, where I can leave everything in my greatest fears, whatever is on my mind the most, leave it before God and be still. I guess I kind of like to know who God is. And I think all of us know who God is. But I know for me, it can be a very big challenge to know who God is. So I like to look at some verses, kind of who God is. And I'm sure they'll be familiar, and there'll be many more that you'll think of. But the first one I like to look at is God is a father to us. He's being a father to us. And there's a verse in Isaiah 64:8 that talks about God being a father to us. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art potter, and we are the work of thy hand. So God is a Father. He created us. He made you the way he wants you to be. And yeah. So, another one that God is he is a shepherd. And Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. So this beautiful picture of God being a shepherd. It's not a bad shepherd, like maybe some shepherds out there, but God very tenderly caring for his sheep, and we are like the sheep that are talked about in the passage here. So God is also a friend. In John 15, 13 through 15, talks about how God is a friend to us. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. So, God, when he died on the cross, he gave his life for us. And God is saying that greater love hath no man than this, that man laid down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did for us. And so, I know he's a friend, it says, and there might be other things as well, but friends are very important in our lives. I know they are in mine, and so yeah, God is a friend, and I guess I'm sure there's lots more you can be thinking about it, but one more here is talks about God as a healer. And so in 1 Peter, First Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So, yeah, God is not only a physical healer, but he's also a spiritual healer as well. And so, yeah, I'm sure the list, I did not search all of these, but the list, I'm sure, keeps going on and on. But, so yeah, as you think about being still, who is God that you can be still before? So, obviously, just because God is a shepherd, he's a father, he's a friend, he's a healer. I mean, yeah, obviously, I think we know God. But in today's world, just because of your occupation, just because you're maybe a carpenter, doesn't mean you're a good carpenter. Or just because there's lots of different occupations out there, but to have that name on yourself, whatever, as like a farmer or a carpenter or whatever, doesn't mean you're good. And so, yeah, God has all these names. But, yeah, I think we all know the answers. But I do want to look at a few that kind of describe God, that describe God as these characters here. So, a verse that was really challenging to me earlier this week is Psalms 118, verses 29. Let me find it here. It says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And it was already mentioned this morning, but God is good. And we can rest in the fact that he is a good father, a good shepherd, a good friend. He's also all-knowing. Psalms 147, verses 5. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. It goes on and on. It's not stopped. Then Psalms 139, verses 4. Even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. He knows what we're going to speak before we say it. And then also 1 John 3:20. This verse talks about our heart. It says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. As mentioned before, talking about God as a Father and creating us, he knows us very well, and he knows our heart, he knows our thoughts, and there's nothing that's going to take him by surprise. So he's all-powerful as well. In Jeremiah 32:17, it talks about, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. And I take a lot of comfort in that verse. God made everything, which is obvious, but there is nothing too hard for God. So, one more yet here. And again, this list, I'm sure there's lots more that could be added to this list. I guess I'll let that up to you to add to the list there. But he's also empowering. And in Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31, again, another very common passage. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So if we wait on the Lord, God promises to empower us, be our strength, more than anything else that we can do ourselves. So again, as you look at, as we come maybe before God, prepare to come before God, God is a father, shepherd, friend, healer. But he's all of those, but he's way more as well. He's good. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's empowering. And he is, I guess, all of those things and so much more as well. So as we look at being still before God, and let the words, be still, sink in. God is definitely worthy there shouldn't be any fear Because God is worthy, and I guess the greatest challenge I feel like, as I look at God, and as God is described in the Bible here, there is nothing wrong with the way God. There's nothing wrong with God's character, I should say. So there are things though that hinder me from being still. And I guess I would like to look at some of those things. So if we're having problems being still before God, it's not God's fault. But I'm pretty sure it's things that are in our hearts, are in our minds. You could call it clutter. All the different voices that are just constantly coming to our mind. Maybe, I know, maybe during your quiet time, there's so many thoughts that just keep coming into your mind, and it's hard to be still. Or maybe it's fear, or whatever it might be. And I look at a few of those here this morning. And yeah, I guess fear will be the first one. And it's a very big one as well, very real. And in Matthew chapter 14, there is a story about this, again, another very common story about Peter. And so it's when Jesus comes walking on the water. So I'll just go ahead and read that here. Matthew 14, 22 through 32. It says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And they were come into the ship. The wind ceased. So, I don't know what fears there might be, but there are lots of different fears. And in this story, in this instant, Peter had a very legitimate fear. And I think, yeah, it's fairly legitimate, but he did not put his trust completely in God. And his faith, and his faith in God as well. And obviously, yeah, nothing seriously happened to Peter. God saved him, but it didn't work out as planned, necessarily, or as it could have worked out. But as you think about, yeah, maybe the fears in your life, I don't know what they might be, but maybe you think about the question, are they too great for God? Was this fear of Peter, was it too great for God to, yeah, and the people in the ship, they feared, but yeah, with God there, everything was all right. So maybe another thing that might distract us is pride. Maybe, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we think we have it all together and don't need God as much. But there's a very common verse in Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So it's not going to work out real well if we're prideful. Talks about how God despises a prideful heart as well, I believe somewhere else. But, and then also in 1 John 2:16, mentions kind of several things that could be a distraction. First John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. There are lots of things in this world that obviously are out there to distract us, and each one of us struggles with different things. But it will be a hindrance. And it says that it's not of the Father. So, yeah, I guess I just challenge you to think about maybe things that might be a distraction in your life that hinder you from being still before God. So, as I mentioned earlier, your thoughts can be a huge distraction. At least, yeah. My mind just can like wander and whatever. Some might not necessarily be wrong thoughts or whatever, but I think we do have to learn how to have self-control and learn how to control what we think. And there's a verse in 1 Peter 5:8. So I'm sure we're all familiar with this verse, but it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And yeah, being sober, being vigilant, watchful, I guess that could mean different things, but I think one of those ways is controlling what we think about and making sure that the devil, doesn't get a hold on your life, maybe by thoughts or maybe some other way, but being very sober, being vigilant, and yeah, he's out there. The devil does not want us to be still before God, and yeah, does not want us to worship God. Another one is worry, and I guess maybe a little bit like fear, but there's a verse in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It's in the ESV. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I guess, yeah, I did think about this message. Not really on thankfulness this morning, but there are lots of things that we can be thankful for. And this verse specifically talks about being thankful and the importance of thankfulness. That, yeah, just we don't have to be anxious. And it says, do not be anxious about anything, which is very difficult. There's lots of things to worry about. But we can bring these worries there's things to God before God in prayer, and it says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, is how we're supposed to do it. And so, yeah, I don't think, like I said, there's lots of things to worry about, and yeah, there's no worry or no fear that is too great for God. And so, yeah, I guess as I think about who God is and who he is, and look at myself and look at all the different things that try to, all the different voices, the fears, the worries, maybe your pride, or different things. They take up space in our mind, and they hinder us from being still before God. At least that's how it is for me. So, yeah, I guess, again, think of the words, be still. And we can know that God is God. And so, I guess, when you think about being still, I find it very helpful to get up really early some morning when there's not much on your mind. At least I find it the easiest then. And just come before God and, yeah, start your day out being still before God. But, yeah, I don't think it's necessarily in the morning. I think we can practice it whenever. And so, yeah, I guess I just want to challenge you with the thought of coming before God and laying our cares, whatever it might be, maybe we aren't worried about anything. Maybe you don't have anything a whole lot. But coming before God and worshiping him and being still, knowing that he is God, because he is definitely worthy and he is definitely able to do that. I think the bigger question is, are you able to come before God and just be still and know that, yeah, again, he has everything under control and there's nothing too great, nothing too hard for God. So, yeah, like I said, I hope you aren't getting tired of too much singing. So I like to just close here with the song Be Still and Know. That's in your Hymns of the Church, song number 521.